We shall never tell. Strange, the thoughts that go through your head when you're standing at an open grave. Not that Emerson Mundy knew anything about open graves before today. Her father's funeral is the first she's ever attended, and she's the sole mourner. Ah, at last, a perk to living a life without many, any, loved ones. You don't spend much time grieving, unless you count the pervasive ache for the things you never had. The minister who came with the cemetery package and never even met Jerry Mundy is rambling on about souls and salvation. Emerson hears only, "We shall never tell," the closing line in an old letter she found yesterday in the crawlspace of her childhood home. It had been written in 1676 by a young woman named Priscilla Mundy, addressed to her brother Jeremiah. The Mundys were among the 17th century English colonists who settled on the eastern bank of the Hudson River, about 100 miles north of New York City. Their first winter was so harsh that the river froze, stranding their supply ship and additional colonists in the New York harbor. When the ship arrived after the thaw, all but 5 settlers had starved to death. Jeremiah, Priscilla, their sister Charity, and their parents had eaten human flesh to stay alive. James and Elizabeth Mundy swore they'd only cannibalized those who'd already died, but the God-fearing, well-fed newcomers couldn't fathom such wretched butchery. A Puritan justice committee tortured the couple until they confessed to murder, then swiftly tried, convicted, and hanged them. "Do you think we're related?" Emerson asked her father after learning about the Mundys back in elementary school.
"Nope."
Curt answers were typical when she brought up anything Jerry Mundy didn't want to discuss. The past was high on the list.
"That's it? Just nope?"
"What else do you want me to say?"
"How about yes?"
"That wouldn't be the truth," he said with a shrug.
"Sometimes the truth isn't very interesting."
"Life is easier when things aren't interesting."
She had no one else to ask about her family history. Dad was an only child, and his parents, Donald and Inez Mundy, had passed away long before she was born. Their headstone is adjacent to the gaping rectangle about to swallow her father's casket. Staring at the inscription, she notices her grandfather's unusual middle initial. Donald X. Mundy, born 1900, died 1972. X marks the spot. Thanks to her passion for history and Robert Louis Stevenson, Emerson's bookworm childhood included a phase when she searched obsessively for buried treasure. Money was short in their household after 2 heart attacks left Jerry Mundy on permanent disability. X marks the spot. No gold doubloon treasure chest buried here, just dusty old bones of people she never knew. And now her father. The service concludes with a prayer as the coffin is lowered into the ground. The minister clasps her hand and tells her how sorry he is for her loss, then leaves her to sit on a bench and stare at the hillside as the undertakers finish the job. The sun is beginning to burn through the thick marine layer that swaddles most June and July mornings. Having grown up in Southern California, she knows the sky will be bright blue by mid-afternoon. Tomorrow will be more of the same. By then, she'll be on her way back up the coast, back to her life in Oakland, where the fog rolls in and stays for days, weeks at a time. Funny, but there she welcomes the gray, a soothing shield from real-world glare and sharp edges. Here, the seasonal gloom has felt oppressive and depressing. Emerson watches the undertakers finish the job and load their equipment into a van. After they drive off, she makes her way between neat rows of tombstones to inspect the raked dirt rectangle. "When something is over, you move on," her father told her when she left home nearly 2 decades ago. She attended Cal State Fullerton with scholarships and maximum financial aid, got her master's at Berkeley, and landed a teaching job in the Bay Area. But she didn't necessarily move on. Every holiday, many weekends, and for 2 whole months every summer, she makes the 6-hour drive down to stay with her father. She cooks and cleans for him, and at night they sit together and watch Wheel of Fortune reruns. It used to be because she craved a connection to the only family she had in the world. Lately, though, it was as much because Jerry Mundy needed her. He pretended that he didn't, that he was taking care of himself in the house, too proud to admit he was failing. He was a shadow of his former self when he died at 76, leaving Emerson alone in the world.